Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Good to see everybody here. So if you feel like I look like Pastor Bruce, you are right, because the whole outfit is from Pastor Bruce. I just came back from China, from Hong Kong, and so it's good to be back and see everybody in Taipei. And so, you know, this time, just 1 year from my last visit, and now we have a new building. And most of you are new to me, and I'm new to you. But the amazing thing in the Lord is that we are one family in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, so before I continue with the preaching, I would like to pray together. Let's come before the Lord. Father, we thank you. We come boldly before you because of what Jesus has done for us. He laid down his life and shed his blood. And on the cross, he took all of our sins and iniquities. So we can be saved. We can be forgiven of all of our sins. We can come boldly and free before the Lord. And Father, we thank you. You are right here with us now because you are pleased to call all your children to come before you, especially in this Sunday service, because you set apart the day of Sabbath to gather us before you, to meet with you, and to hear from you, and to worship you. You are pleased as a loving Father, and we are so excited that although we do not see you with our eyes, but our hearts can be adoring you, can be drawing near to you, can be united to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, great. Hallelujah. So today I'm going to preach probably something that is not very common. But I feel like when it comes to worship, this is something that we really need to learn from the Bible. So I'm going to talk about the offerings in the Old Testament. So the Bible talks about the offering of Moses in the, toward the end of the book of Exodus. And I don't know how many of you have read through the Bible. You don't have to raise your hand. And I know sometimes, you know, if the pastor asks you, have you been reading the Bible every day? And sometimes people can be really dreading about these kind of questions. And so I heard a lot of people saying, at least among the Chinese people, when it comes to Exodus, you know, they want to start reading the Bible from the very beginning, which is the Genesis. And Genesis seems to be okay because it's full of stories. And for the first part of Exodus was okay too because of stories. But toward the end of Exodus, a lot of times our members would say, oh, I can't get out of the wilderness. I can't get out of the Egypt because it talks about all these Mosaic laws and, you know, all the rituals, offerings. It's hard to, you know, understand how hard to get it. So today, hopefully, after this sermon, you'll be able to get through Exodus and get out of wilderness and really get into the true worship of our Lord Jesus. Amen? Okay. So we're going to read from Exodus chapter 29, I believe. Okay. So on the eighth day, Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel and said to the people of Israel, take a male goat. Take a goat for a sin offering. Okay, so when it comes to the word offering, I want you to take note of it. Okay, so the first one up here is a sin offering, and it was through a goat and a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, for a burnt offering. Okay, so we have the second offering, which is the burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for peace offerings. Okay, and to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. Okay, so today we're going to talk about five offerings according to Mosaic laws. Okay, so if you know the five offerings and the order of the offering, then it will be much easier for you to understand the Mosaic laws of worship. Okay, and then although to you today, you know, we think offering animals seems to be, you know, very brutal and bloody, but each offering has a significance, has a meaning to it. So once you unfold the meaning of each offering, then the worship makes sense to you. And that can bring you into a deeper level of worship with Jesus, even now, okay? So we want to look at each offering and you know, explore the meaning, the significance, and also we want to see the relationship of it to us. Okay, so the first one is the sin offering. Okay, so the sin offering, basically we see that from the scriptures, it was a goat that was offered, and the sin offering is for the redemption of our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins. So we know that for us to come before the Almighty God, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the first thing you need to do is to deal with your sin. Okay, so what is sin? What is sin? So basically sin, sin is not in the right relationship with God. Okay, in other words, you are not making God as the Lord of your life. Jesus is not center of your life, and you yourself or some idols in your life, like money, family, children, romance, etc., are at the center of your life. And in that case, that's the essence of sin. So we want to make sure before we can approach God, the first thing is that we need to get right with God through the sin offering. Okay, so sin offering is not necessarily pinpointing a specific transgression or sin, but here it's just to get right with God. So when people hear the gospel, or you want to lead people to respond to the gospel, the only right response to the gospel is to repent. Okay, so when you hear the gospel, you want to repent to the Lord, which means you turn back to Him. Before you turn back to Him, you were not in the right relationship with God. That's called sin. And then when you hear the gospel that Jesus died on the cross for us to be the Lamb of God who for the forgiveness of our sins, then we repent, we turn back to God. That is, the repentance is the sin offering. So sin offering is repentance. Sin offering is to get right with God. And you know, your sins is forgiven. Okay, so that's the sin offering. Okay, and then let's look at the second one. The second one is the guilt offering. So guilt offering is a little bit different from sin offering. It seems to be the same, seems to be a similar idea. But guilt offering is to confess the specific transgression or trespasses you committed to the Lord. So you know the difference between sin offering and guilt offering. So sin offering is to get right with God, okay? And receive forgiveness of sin. And then with a guilt offering, you want to deal with the specific sins, okay? So back in Moses' time, if somebody just, you know, in their in their daily walk, they made a mistake, and then they have to come before the Lord to do the guilt offering. Or it can be just some transgressions you commit against someone. So the transgression is not just about your offense to God, but also your offense to other people. So for us to be able to come before God, we also need to deal with our relationship with other people, our offenses to other people. So that's why Jesus in the book of Matthew says that when you are on your way to offer up your sacrifice to God, and then you realize you have some offenses about against other people, then you need to go and reconcile with other people before you go back to God. Okay? So for us to come before Lord with a clear conscience, we need to also deal with our relationship with other people. So if there's any unforgiveness or bitterness or kind of judgmental attitudes toward other people, we want to deal with that. Okay? So that's the guilt offering. And the guilt offering also talks about restitution. So if you steal from someone $100 and then you got convicted and you want to offer God a guilt offering, you need to add 20% to it. So you need to return $120 for the guilt offering. This is how Mosaic Law offers, says. So in other words, we don't just return what we have stolen, but also we want to make not interest, okay, but a restitution for it. Okay, so this is a guilt offering. Okay, and then the next one is what we know as the burnt offering. The burnt offering, okay. So burnt offering, you bring a calf and a lamb, both a year old without blemish, or for a burnt offering. And the burnt offering, as the name suggests, you have to burn the whole thing. So it's not like other offerings. Burnt offering is the only offering that you burn the whole thing on the altar. Okay, so this means when you come before the Lord, you need to deal with your relationship with God, and also you deal with your specific transgression you commit. And then the third thing is that you want to come before the Lord wholeheartedly. You want to just come before the Lord to worship Him without reservation, with all you are, okay? So pretty much like the song that we had sung. So it means that worshiping God is not just like, okay, it's only on Sunday I worship God. It's only for 2 hours every week I worship God. It is your life. It is wholehearted to the Lord, okay? When you think about this, it's a great challenge for everyone. You can confess your sin, you can repent, because you can receive forgiveness. That's great. We all want to be forgiven of our sins. We all want to have a clear conscience. But when it comes to the challenge of giving yourself totally to the Lord and worshiping without any reservation, it's always a challenge. This is what we say about lordship. Okay, so if if Jesus is not your Lord of all, then He's not your Lord at all. Okay, so it's just like marriage. So the husband cannot tell the wife and said, I promise you, 364 days, I'm totally yours, except one day in a year. Okay. So you need to give me the freedom. Okay, so I guess no wives would accept this kind of deal. Okay, so our relationship with God is a covenant relationship. And for myself, the Lordship conviction is so crucial and foundational in my life. And as I share the gospel, I want to make sure people get it before they really get baptized. Okay. For myself, when I gave my life to Jesus, I made a prayer to the Lord. I said, God, give me a vision. The reason I asked for that as my first request to the Lord is because I have a desire to find out about the purpose of my life. What I'm supposed to do with my life, okay, as a young man at that time. And I was very confused and lost in my life, not knowing what my life is for. I didn't know my purpose, I didn't know my goal, I didn't know what I live for, what I should be passionate about. So I pray that God would give me a vision. And then immediately God gave me a vision, I believe that Pastor Bruce showed you before, about the cross shedding light at the campus of National Taiwan University. That was the vision I got. That was the first vision I got 38 years ago. And I want to let you know that 38 years later in America, I'm still doing campus ministry. We are still reaching out to the young generation. And even more, we devote ourselves to campus ministry, because we believe reaching out to the young generation is the hope, is the future of the church. So that's the vision. And then when I first came back to Taiwan in 93, long, long time ago. Okay, so the second day when I was in Taiwan, God just told me, although you just came back to Taiwan, but you will not stay in Taiwan for long. I'm calling you to China. And I said, okay, sure, no problem. So 93, I received a call to move to China soon. But, you know, when God says soon, you don't know exactly how long. So the next year, 94, I was able to go to China, to put my foot on China for the first time in my life, 94. And I just realized that I just came back from China. So that was my 30th anniversary of being in China. Not being in China, but just, got to China. So 30 years, yeah. And I went there 94 for the first time. And then we spent 4 years in Taiwan and moved to Guangzhou, China, and then started a church in China. So before we went, we encountered a lot of resistance, opposition, especially from our loved ones. You know, our parents, all four of our parents were very upset about this. And my mother even threatened me that she was going to disown me, yeah. And my father excommunicated with me. My parents-in-law were scolding me very harshly, all that kind of things. And I received all this very humbly and patiently, because I know they don't understand. But I, at the same time, I'm very convinced in my life. You know, this is my calling, this is my destiny, this is what God sent me here for, you know, at least one of the reasons. So if I don't answer God's calling with all of my heart, with all of my life, then I will be wasting my life. I don't want to live my life in vain. I want to give my life all to Him. So at the age of 37, regardless of all of the opposition and also all the potential risk, I moved the whole family over to China. So at that time, we just had our first son. Actually, when we went to the Philippines, to receive the missionary training, my son was only 7 months old. And then after the training, we went to Guangzhou. So at the young age, he pretty much grew up in the mission field. And then at that time, we know that China is, how do you say that? Unreached, or just basically, for foreigners, it's illegal to be a missionary there. So I can easily get caught and kicked out, or put into jail, all kinds of possibilities. But in my heart, I knew if it's God's calling, and God will provide, and God will protect. So I just went by faith, not by fear. Praise God, He has given us faith, so we can walk by faith and not by fear. Yeah. So long story short, at one point I have been raided by police multiple times. I had to flee, and then but I decided to come back. So when I was standing at the custom of Shanghai, a thought came to me. Actually, I asked myself, what if I don't ever come back? So that thought just came to me, and I just asked myself. And my answer to the question is, it doesn't matter. If I cannot get out of here ever, and I'll just die there. Yeah. So although there are risk, there are persecution, there are challenges. And in your life, you have different challenges in your walk with the Lord. Everybody has challenges. You know that if you walk in His will, you have His protection. You have His provision. And His grace is always sufficient for you. But the thing is that, are you willing to give your heart totally to the Lord? Are you willing to give your life totally to the Lord? And some people say, I hesitate to give all to the Lord. I want to keep some to myself. I want to keep some freedom. I want to keep some money to myself, all that kind of things. But you know what? You can never outgive God. And God knows your heart. And I'm not saying that, you want to be feeling guilty if you are not giving it all to the Lord right now. We grow into that, okay? But we know the challenge is there. We know that's God's calling. And we know God always has the best for you, okay? So this is faith. Is your faith strong enough and wholesome enough that you believe that God can take care of every area of your life? If so, then give it all to Him. Yeah, so the burnt offering is saying that God is my Lord. He's the Lord of all in my life. And also we see that in the book of Romans 11, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So, we are made to worship God. How do you worship God? And Paul gives us a challenge and gives us the truth that we are to offer up our body as a living sacrifice. Our action, our thoughts, our heart, and our words is all God's. And we want to follow Him. We want to know His will. We want to fulfill His purpose with all our strength. We want to love Him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our soul, without any reservation. This is what we are made for, to worship God. This is the true meaning of worship, without reservation. Okay, and then we come to the fourth one, which is the grain offering. The grain offering, it says that verse 11, to grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey as a food offering to the Lord. So from here it says no honey, no leaven, no yeast, which means that it needs to be pure. So grain offering represents the holiness of our life to the Lord. So once you get right with God, you confess your sins, you receive forgiveness, you offer yourself without reservation to the Lord, and then the next thing is that you want to lead a life of holiness. Some people say, oh, life of holiness is so hard. How can we ever do it? We can never attain to the standard of God's holiness. And that's because you don't really understand what God is actually calling you to do. Number one, Jesus' holiness is also yours already. You are already in the position of holiness, okay? So legally, in God's law, you are holy because you are in Jesus. Jesus is holy. So when you are joined to Jesus, united with Jesus, you are also holy. You have received Jesus' holiness, Jesus' righteousness. It's already given to you, okay? That's our position. That's our legal position. And then God calls us to stand on the legal holiness position to practice holiness in our daily life, okay? So it may be hard to understand, but you need to know that you want to attain to holiness from a place of already having holiness from Jesus. Okay, so in other words, you see yourself in Christ, so you see yourself having the capacity to be holy. Okay, so you just need to, every day, you make a decision, I want to align myself with my position of holiness. And sometimes you may fail, but you just pick up yourself and you run forward again. You ask for forgiveness, God cleanses all of your sins, and you are good to go. Okay, so God always, gives a second chance, and He's patient for us to get back up and run, just like little children. Okay, and I'm so excited to see Mark's daughter Abigail, and she's a miracle baby. Yeah, we know that all of our babies are miracle, right? Yeah, but we went through a lot, with Mark. And but anyway, so good to see the baby. The babies, when they first, let me ask you, do babies have the capacity to walk very well? Do they have the capacity? They have the potential, okay? It's already in their gene, but they just have to practice walking, and then they will be able to walk. But before they can really walk, they will stumble many times. But what do? They go back up and then they continue to learn how to walk, okay? And eventually they can walk. So holiness is also like that, We already have that in our spiritual gene, but we have to walk it out. We have to practice. And so that's why I said, we are in the position of holiness in Christ, but we have to practice it every day, okay? So don't be discouraged if you fail, because God is a loving Father watching you and helping you and supporting you and encouraging you, okay? And what's more is that you have the Holy Spirit inside of you to give you the power and strength to have victory over any temptation. So you have that, you got that strength inside of you. You got the position. And also you have the Word of God telling you what to do, guiding you. And then you have the church to encourage you on. Yeah, so we want to exhort each other. We want to encourage other. Yeah, so we speak the truth in love, and somebody fails, and we just want to encourage them and then just carry them together. God has given us all grace. His grace is sufficient for us to be able to walk in victory, to walk in holiness. But we need to know that this is what God has called us to. So we don't want to compromise. We don't want to flow with the world. We don't want to just follow how I feel. Because a lot of times how you feel is in the flesh. It's lust, it's sin, it's temptation from the enemy. So we need to discern what is from the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have the offering, grain offering, which is purity and holiness. And lastly is the offering of peace offering or fellowship. Okay, so this is my favorite part. You have gone so far, you know, you get right with God, you confess all your sins, you are forgiven, you are clean, and then you give all to the Lord, you are under the lordship of Christ, so you started to practice holiness. And what's next? What is all this offering about? It's all about coming into intimate fellowship with our Lord. God saves us. He created us so that we can call Him our Father and friend. He's our best friend. He's our friend, always alongside, always in our heart, always loving us. Every morning, His love and His mercy is new. His love never changes. And His love is greater than all that we can think of or can imagine. So that's God's love. And we just want to have faith to respond to His love, to receive His love. Okay? And right now, recently, I've been, you know, practicing, not recently, actually for years, I've been practicing just always in the intimate place with the Lord in my heart, okay? So there are so many places throughout the Bible that talks about that intimate place with the Lord. For example, we are all familiar with Psalm 91. It talks about the who dwells in the secret place of the Almighty, Most High. And so that means that there is a secret place God has set apart for you. Just you. Not just for Pastor Bruce or the whole church. There is a secret place for just you and the Father. For Ken and God. For just you. Okay, every one of you, you have that secret place in your heart. You have to just come into it, enter into that secret place. And then you have the protection once you get into that secret place. So when you feel anxious or afraid, you just declare this, I have a secret place, I come into the secret place. You know, what is a secret place? In the tabernacle, the secret place is the Holy of Holies. You know, right before the Lord Almighty, before the mercy seat, okay? And what is the place of intimacy? That is the place where Mary sat before Jesus and adoring Jesus' presence and His glory and just listen carefully to what Jesus has to say. That's the secret place. That's the place of intimacy. And what's the secret place? It's also the place where Adam and Eve first were put in the Garden of Eden. And I believe that God is calling every one of you, every one of us, to nurture and maintain that Garden of Eden right in your heart, in your spirit. And that's a place where the kingdom of God is, which is righteousness and peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. So whenever you keep your heart, maintain your heart in righteousness, in Jesus' righteousness, and in peace, and in joy in the Holy Spirit, And then you are maintaining the kingdom of God. You are maintaining the secret place. You are maintaining the Garden of Eden. So that would keep you always in that intimate place with God. Okay? And also, when you are constantly in that place in your heart, the Bible says that we need to guard our heart because all issues come from the heart. Okay, so in other words, if your heart is where the kingdom of God is, and also the secret place, the Holy of Holies, then in your walk of life, you know, it would be so much easier that you can walk in holiness. And you can just live under the Lordship. So I just want to encourage you that when we think about the offerings, the five offerings, we know how to approach God. And we know all the offerings all lead to one purpose, which is the intimate fellowship with the Lord. God loves you so much. He desires that you draw near. And He's waiting for you to turn back to you. And earlier we said, oh, God is chasing you. But at the same time, we don't want God to chase us all the time. We want to turn back to Him so that He doesn't have to chase us. We want to chase God with all of our heart. Okay? So Jesus did all this so that we can come into that place. And God created us. We've gone through so many things, trials in life. And God, there's one destination. That is that intimate place with the Lord in your heart. Okay? So with all the offerings, not just for reconciliation, but God is restoring all His people back to the place of intimacy, back to the place where it all started, which is the Garden of Eden. Full of peace, full of harmony, full of life, and full of love. And that, because of Jesus in your heart, that also in your heart. Amen? Okay, so I want you to ask yourself a question. If every offering represents a stage of worship, a stage of relationship with God, which state are you now? What stages have you been through? And some of you, you probably already get right with God because, you know, you already, you know, repent to the Lord. So that's a sin offering. Some of you already went further. You deal with your sins against other people. And some of you are, you know, thinking about whether to give it all to the Lord, to live under the Lordship. And some of you may start living a life of holiness. And some of you may be enjoying that intimate relationship with the Lord. Where are you? And God, I believe that God is leading you to grow through every stage and eventually come right to His heart. Amen? Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good to us. Father, right now we just want you to touch every individual's heart so that we get to appreciate all that you have given us, all that you have blessed us with, so that with a grateful heart, we can just enjoy your goodness, your grace to us. And help us to also love back in response to your love. Father, we just pray that you rekindle our heart of passion to want to have more of you in our heart, in our life. Glory be to God. Thank you for giving us life and saving us into eternal life so that we can celebrate your love forever and worship you forever. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray right now, you also reveal your calling to each one of us. Father, help us as we offer our life completely to you for your service, for your purpose. You also speak to our heart and reveal to us so that we can live our life to the full by your grace. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.